The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Well, good morning. Thank you for that response. One Sunday, it's just going to be a good morning practice. And the whole morning, we're just going to say that over and over again until we get really good at it. It's not like you don't have any warning. You know it's coming up. So, well, we are continuing with our series, Manifesto. And as Jerry said, it's a series that's been stepping on our toes. This morning, it's kind of interesting because earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus began talking about prayer, and he devoted a good portion of the Sermon on the Mount to the subject of prayer. Well, he comes back to that, and so today we're going to be looking at a shorter emphasis on prayer, but now as he comes back to it, he presents it in light of all the things he's talked about in the past, well, for him, maybe the past few minutes, for us, the past few weeks. So I think that you'll understand a little bit more about what Jesus means when he says these things about prayer, because we're looking at them in light of the things that he's already told us. So let's pray and let's ask God to really open our eyes so that we can see the things he has for us this morning. So would you bow your head with me? Father, God, we come to you this morning and we're looking at a passage that talks about our communication with you, God, and your response to us. And first of all, God, I just want to thank you for being a God that hears us, for being a God that answers us, and especially for being a God that loves us. And we know that you love us with an incredible love that can't be duplicated here on earth. It's impossible, Father, and yet you call us to love others in the same way. And so I pray, Father, that as we learn more and more about how you want to respond to us and how you want to communicate with us, I pray, Father, that your love for us will continue to grow inside of us so that we can touch the lives of others. This morning, Father, as I speak, I would ask that you would speak through me, Father. I pray that my words would be your words this morning. Thank you, God, again for just being an incredible God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're looking at Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7. I'm going to have a little bit of competition this morning because I got Josiah and Soren, who Soren's usually pretty good and quiet, so, right? Yeah, all night. He's quiet all night, too. It's whatever. Josiah's been recently doing this thing where he likes to let us know that he's still there during the middle of the night. So he was doing fine, sleeping through the night for a while, and then he just decided that the night was too long to wait for morning. You know how when you're a kid and you can't wait for Christmas morning and the night seems too long? Well, that's every night for him. So I think about my son and I think about how at this point, there's really not a whole lot of communication that goes on as far as on his end. He's not communicating to me a whole lot, but I communicate to him a lot. And I tell him things, you know, about what the future is going to be like. I warn him before I go to change his diaper that I'm going to be doing that. And I just like to keep a conversation running, even though, you know, he's listening to the sound of my voice, but he's not really understanding what I'm saying. And so his conversation on his end is very limited, whereas on my end, it's just constant. And it reminds me of my relationship with God, how God's communication with us is constant, and many times we're not listening. And maybe we are listening, but we're not really understanding because we're seeing things through our own eyes instead of through God's eyes. So I'm hoping that this passage this morning will kind of change that for us. And that as we begin to see things through God's perspective, and especially when it comes to prayer and our communication with God, if we can see that through God's perspective, then I think we'll have a better understanding of how God responds to us in prayer. So we're looking at Matthew 7. We'll look at verses 7 through 11. Why is it whenever there's a 7, There's always an 11. Or maybe that just stands out more. I don't know. I stopped by 7-Eleven last night because my tire in the van was kind of low, and so I was thanking heaven for 7-Eleven last night. That's a joke. It's their slogan. Okay, you haven't gone there enough. Verse 7, Jesus says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Maybe some of you want to. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you, who are imperfect people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So here, Jesus just pops right back into the subject of prayer. But keep in mind, what was he just talking about in the last couple weeks? I'm going to remind you, just in case you don't, it's not like real fresh in your mind. But the last couple weeks, Jesus has been talking about being focused on his purposes and not on your own purposes. Having his intentions in mind instead of your own. Remember, seeking first the kingdom of God, and then all the other things are going to be added to your life. But first, seeking him. And so, in light of that, he says, I want you to keep on asking, and you're going to receive what you're asking for. Let's focus in on verse 7. He says, keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Now, I live out in the country, and so not a lot of people come by knocking on my door. And so October 31st, Halloween, we don't usually expect a lot of trick-or-treaters. People usually aren't that brave or that energetic. And plus, you travel all the way out there, and what if we don't have candy? You don't want to take that kind of a chance. Since there's not a lot of traffic out there, I don't know how, but one of our dogs still gets nervous when she hears a knocking sound. I'm not sure where she got that from, even though it's probably not a sound that she hears very often. But we can pretty much make her knock on cue or bark on cue by just knocking, anything. And if you accidentally bang two pieces of wood together or anything that would even slightly sound like a door knocking, and then this dog just goes crazy. And so we're not really sure where this dog gets that from. But the idea here is that there's a persistency in coming to God. Okay, so it's not just a knock, knock, oh, no one's answering, I guess I'll try again later. No, it's a persistency. He says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. And so I think there's something that we need to take with us this morning. And the first thing is this: God will respond to those who seek. God will respond to those who seek. But now we need to have a little bit of an understanding about the person that's seeking, because Jesus is actually speaking about a specific person. And that person is a person whose desire is to honor and to please God. Okay? Because everything that Jesus has told us so far in his message on that mountaintop has been all about how can we be more pleasing to God? How can our life line up with the plan that God has for our life? How can our life stay within the guidelines that God set for us? And so he's speaking to the people that he's inviting to do that. And so when he says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened, he's speaking directly to that person that's seeking God and seeking God's will and God's purpose in their life. I might put it like this: God will supply any and every basic need for those who are consistently seeking to bring him honor with their lives. Now, why is it so important that we understand who exactly God is talking about? Because so many times we can ask for things in a selfish way. And so many times we can ask for things because we just simply want to bring credit or glory to ourselves. And God's not about that. God, I've said this in the past, God is not going to compete with whatever it is in your life that you want to bring honor and glory to that's not him. God doesn't want to compete with that. And so God is going to move to the next person that is seeking to honor him and to please him. So we need to understand that, because everything that we're going to say from now on is based on the fact that if you want a response from God, there's a condition on that. you've got to be looking towards the life that God has for you. Now, I'm not saying you have to live a perfect life, because that would be wrong. I mean, well, it wouldn't be wrong to live a perfect life, but it would be wrong for me to make you believe that unless you're doing everything perfect and you're doing everything exactly the way God wants you to, He's not going to hear you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that the focus of your life, the direction of your life, is headed to please God. You're seeking to honor God with your life. And it doesn't mean we don't screw up, because we do. We mess up a lot. But God is saying, if you are headed that direction and your desire is to please God, then God's response is this. I love it. In John 14:13, Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And I've actually heard people say, "Well, okay, so I can ask for anything as long as I tag on Jesus' name, as long as I say, 'God, I really want this in Jesus' name.' If I say that, then is God going to answer that?" No, because He's not saying that you have to tag on Jesus' title every time you ask for something. But what He's saying is that you want to bring honor to the name of Jesus by what you're asking. And we talked before about the closer you are to God, the more you get to know God, the more your desires match up with the desires of God. And that's what we're talking about here. 1 John 3:22 says, "And we will receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey Him and do the things that please Him." Now, I want you to understand something, because, first of all, God is not about putting conditions on your forgiveness or your salvation, let's say. Because when you come to God for the first time and you say, "God, I admit that I'm a sinner, I'm imperfect, and I need your forgiveness. I want to begin a relationship with you. I want to turn from my ways. I don't want to head in the direction that I'm going, which is eventually utter separation from you. I want to be in your presence." When you make that decision in your heart, there's no condition that God places on it. He simply wants to know that that is the desire of your heart and that you accept His forgiveness. And He grants it. But as God gives you that brand new life, He begins to demand things of you. And the things that He's demanding of you are not impossible things, and they're not things that are just solely so that you can be stuck into a pattern or be always doing the exact same thing or have a list of rules to follow. That's not what that's all about. God knows that when you are living a life that's designed to honor Him, that is when you are at your happiest and your most peaceful. And so it's for our very own good that God asks us to do these things. 1 John 5:14, we're reminded, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Anything according to His will. There was a time in my life where I was really confused about this whole idea of God's will. And I did not want to be out of God's will. Okay, now I'm not talking about, you know, a will that someone would write where they leave you an inheritance, but it's not too much different, because the fact is God does have some things for us, and He has some things set aside that He wants us to be able to have. But I used to be so confused, and sometimes I would say to myself, am I right where God wants me to be? Am I in the will of God? I would ask myself those questions. And so everything I would do, I mean, it got crazy. It got down to, like, you know, where I was going to go eat. I would be saying, "God, is it your will that I go here and that I do this and that I buy this and that I eat this?" I mean, I'm serious. I got to a point where, and then I got really confused, because we had a speaker in our morning chapel when I was at college, and the speaker said, "Are you in the center of God's will?" I'm like, "Dude, I'm just worried about being in God's will. I'm not even thinking about being in the center of God's will." So that even confused me more. And then I hear other people say, "I want to be directly in the center of God's will." I'm like, "Man, I would just be happy just knowing what God wants me to do. I'd be happy just knowing that right now God's happy with my life and happy with what I'm doing." But you can know that. You can actually know that you're doing the thing that God wills for you to do. And the way you know that is when you're living out the things that God states so simply. And let's just start with the very, very basic things. God wants us to communicate with Him. So we know that we need to be spending time in God's Word because this is how He communicates with us. And we know that we need to be spending time talking to God because when we pray, we're sharing our heart with God. And so those are just basic things. We know that God wants us to love the people around us the way that He loves us. It's a very, very basic thing. We know that God wants us to be sharing His love and sharing His story with those around us. And I'll tell you what, if you begin doing the very basic things that God has set aside for you to do, your life is going to eventually line up and you're going to be exactly where God wants you to be. And so when God promises, I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for, and if you're looking for it, you're going to find it. And when you knock, I'm going to open that door for you. He's saying that as long as you are trying to please me with your life, I want to respond to your prayers. Sometimes I pray and I feel like God is far away. Have you done that before? You don't have to raise your hand, but have you prayed before and you just felt like you were talking to yourself or talking to the wall? And you literally can feel your prayer bouncing off the roof and coming back and hitting you. I've actually been in that place. But understand that there was something keeping me from being able to have that communion with God. There was something in my life that was interfering so that I couldn't have that kind of communication with God that He wants from me. But God will respond to those who seek. Let's look at verse 8. It kind of sounds like Jesus is saying the same thing, but He's not. He's saying a little bit different. Now He says, "For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." What is Jesus saying here? What can we take from this? I believe He's saying God doesn't overlook anyone. God doesn't overlook anyone, which is important for you to know. Because first of all, not only does He say, "I want you to be a person that's consistently asking and consistently seeking," but He wants you to know anybody that desires to honor God and to live for God, that person has an open communication. He has an audience with God. God doesn't overlook anyone. But we put all these stipulations on our own lives. And we feel like we have to do certain things in order for us to be worthy of God. And it's not like that at all. As a matter of fact, I would explain it like this. God's response to you is not based on your accomplishments or performance, but on your willingness to do what He's calling you to do. So God doesn't look back at your history. He doesn't look back at your permanent record. You know, when you were a little kid and you did something wrong and they would tell you, "Son, this is going to go on your permanent record." That used to freak me out. I'm like, it's permanent. That means it's always going to be there. That means when I'm like, you know, 80 years old, someone's going to bring this out and say, "Hey, Jeremiah, you recognize this file? Yep, it's your permanent record. It's all here, everything you've ever done." God doesn't look at your past and say, "What have you done for me?" And based on that, you have an audience with me. Based on what you've done and based on how good you've been and based on your performance, God doesn't do that. But God looks at your heart. He looks at the motivation of your heart. And He looks at you right at the moment when you seek His audience. Right when you come to God, He's looking at your heart and He sees your desire. And based on the condition of your heart, God hears you. And so understand that there's nothing that you have to do to try to qualify yourself. There's no accomplishment. There's no performance measurement. God just simply wants your heart. James 1:5, and this is from the Amplified Bible. I love sometimes reading from the Amplified Bible because they take all these word studies that other people have done and they bring out different elements of it, so it gives you a little bit more. James says, "If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given to him." Now, this is talking about a specific plea from God, a specific request. You're asking God, "God, give me more wisdom." But James is saying that God is going to answer your prayer, and God is not a God that looks at your life and makes a decision based on your past performance. God gives to everyone. Acts 10:34-35, a little background here. Peter is speaking with a Roman centurion named Cornelius, and as he's speaking to him, Cornelius is the kind of guy who kind of had to go through life, got to the place where he was at based on his performance and based on his abilities. And so in his eyes, your value can be estimated by what you've done. And so Peter reminds him that the gospel, the story of Jesus' love, the story of how you can be redeemed to God, he reminds him that is available to everyone. It says, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. And so remove that idea from your mind that you have to be perfect and that you have to have this incredible track record in order to have an audience with God. I used to think to myself, if I could be just like Billy Graham or D.L. Moody or one of those guys that was just doing all these incredible things for God, I used to think if I could be like that, then maybe God would hear me better. But that's not true. Because God looks at my heart. Right at the moment when I approach him, God looks at my heart. Let's look back at verses 9 through 11. I think Jesus has this incredible sense of humor. And, you know, the Bible tells us that not everything Jesus said is recorded here. So I have a feeling Jesus told a lot of jokes. And the disciples or the people that were recording what he said, they were writing down so many things they couldn't get all his jokes. But I just have a feeling Jesus laid down some pretty funny jokes. I love this. He says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Now think about that. I mean, that's a literal illustration here. Your son or daughter is hungry. Mom, what's for lunch? Can we have that delicious bread that you bake? Sure. Here it is. Big chunk of granite. It's so ridiculous. That wouldn't happen. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? I mean, here they're asking for something that's tasty, and then you're giving them something that's going to taste them. Jesus says, of course not. So if you who are imperfect people, now understand, he's making a comparison here. He says, if you who are imperfect, you're sinful. Some versions even use the word evil to describe how different we are from God. He says, if you who are imperfect people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And if you remember, Jesus, a couple different times in this message that he gave, he used a familiar type of a Jewish argument or a literary device. It's traditionally called the Qual Wahamer, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago. And it just means that you compare something to something else, and you say, if this is true, how much more true is this? And it was a pretty handy tool in order to get his point across. And he says, if you, who are capable of making terrible decisions, I mean, we're not saying you're going to give your son or daughter something that's going to hurt them, but, I mean, come on, we've made some bad choices. And when it comes to someone else's welfare, I mean, sometimes we're just not as careful as our own welfare. Am I right? And Jesus says, if you who are imperfect people, you're still capable of giving good gifts, how much more capable is God? How much more capable is God, especially when you understand that it's the God who understands you and knows you. He knows your every need. He knows the desire of your heart. And so he knows exactly what it is that's going to be. Matter of fact, God knows better than you know what's right for you. And so we need to understand that God cares even more than you do. God cares even more than you do. And that's the third thing. I would put it like this. I can trust that the God that understands our true needs more than we do will give appropriately to those who desire and seek his honor. The God who understands our true needs. God knows your needs better than you do. God knows way more about you than you do. And you think you know a lot about yourself. Am I right? You ever done something that just totally surprised you? You know, you're doing a simple project and you end up cutting your finger. You're like, well, I did not see that coming. Or you do something really well and you're expecting to totally bomb. And you're like, wow, I did not even know I could do that. God knows you better than you know yourself. God's not surprised. God doesn't see you do something and be like, where'd that come from? How do they do that? That doesn't happen. The fact is, God understands your needs way better than you ever could. And so doesn't it make sense that you would trust the one that has all the information, that has all the knowledge? That's why the title of my message this morning is Anything You Can Do, He Can Do Better, because God knows you way better than you know yourself. But we have to understand that in light of God answering our prayer. We have to understand that if we're seeking God and if we're honestly desiring to serve Him and we want to bring Him honor with our life, if that's where we're at and we still find that God is not answering our prayer the way we want Him to answer our prayer, because it happens. It does. You could have your life entirely committed to God and feel like you are doing everything within your power to bring Him on with your life. And when you pray, you feel like God is still silent. But know that God knows exactly what you need. When God doesn't give you exactly what you're asking for, or when God doesn't do it in your timing, understand that it's for your own good. I say that to you now, but you're going to go through an experience in your life where that is not going to sound very pleasant. That's not going to sound like the best advice. You're going to come across a rough time where things are just not going right and you're seeking God and you feel like God is far away. But understand that God knows exactly what you need. Also understand that God is not going to give you anything that's going to cause you to bring glory and honor to yourself. He's not going to set you up to fall. But instead, the God who understands you and understands your need is going to give you appropriately exactly what you need as you desire Him and seek His honor. Romans 8:32, that's a great verse. It says, since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? See the logic here? God's given you an incredible gift. And if God would give you the most precious thing to Himself, doesn't it make sense that God would give you everything else that you need? Philippians 4:6 is a verse we've called on before when we were talking about being worried about our needs being met. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's already done. And this is simply our heart attitude towards God, when we understand that He knows exactly what we need and it's in His timing. James reminds us in James 1:17, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. We change. We change a lot. I'm not just talking about our clothes either, but some of us, you know, we'll change once or twice a day. God never changes. That's why He's so trustworthy. That's why you can always depend on Him. That's why you can put your confidence in God when He says, I know exactly what you need. Because He doesn't change. God, unlike us, can have His track record examined. God's history can be looked at because God has earned the right to be trusted. Psalms 37, verse 4. It says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Are you guys seeing how there's a conditional thing here? Take delight in the Lord. In other words, make God the desire of your heart, and then God is going to give you what your heart desires. Because you're already thinking on God's term. You're seeing things from God's perspective. Your whole understanding about this life has changed because you're seeing it through God's eyes. And maybe, as the scripture says, we don't see things clearly, but God gives us enough so that we can see the path directly ahead of us. He gives us enough so that our basic needs are met. He gives us enough so that we can trust Him right up to the next moment and that next circumstance. This morning, we're going to be sharing in communion. And the Lord's table, communion, whatever you want to call it, is basically this. It's a reminder. It's a reminder that Jesus gave us the ultimate sacrifice. The God who knows what our need is, understand that our deepest need was to have our sins forgiven. Because without that, we're separated from God for eternity. And so, Jesus, knowing that the only way to bridge that gap, the only way to do something about that, was to give his perfect life and to spill his perfect blood and to have his perfect body broken. And so this table is a reminder of that. So the cup that we take reminds us of Jesus' blood, his perfect blood that was spilled for us. The Bible says without the shedding of that blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And that's why it's important. So the cup reminds us of the blood, and then the bread reminds us that Jesus' body was physically beaten and he went through physical torment on the cross for us. And Jesus said, whenever you come to my table, I want you to take these things and I want you to remember the sacrifice that I made for you. You see how Jesus' sacrifice speaks right into what we're talking about this morning? Because the God that has promised to meet your basic needs today is the God that met the ultimate need of your soul 2,000 years ago, before you even knew anything about yourself, Jesus laid down his life for you. That's the God that wants to answer your prayer. That's the God that wants you to seek to honor him with your life so that you can have an audience with him.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You